Turning your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we want to begin reading at the first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for so many who have seen the need on this first Sunday of a new year to come and gather together with you around your word. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts today and convict us by the power of the Holy Spirit and help us to consider some things as we enter into a new year. Things that we may need to change. Things that we may need to do differently. That we might honor and glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this prayer in His name. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the first month of the new year. 2016 seems sort of strange to say those numbers, 2016. And we've come here to the first chapter of this book of Joshua because I believe that these verses have an application to us as we begin this new year. This book begins with a jolt. It begins with the statement of a hard and a very difficult reality. And that hard and difficult reality is this: Moses, my servant, is dead. The man who had led Israel for the last 40 years had passed away. This past Thursday night at midnight, the year 2015, the year that we had lived in and known for 31,536,000 seconds, for 525,600 minutes, the year that we had known and been accustomed to for 8,760 hours and 365 days and 12 months, that year passed away. And this morning we want to think about the implications of that event by looking at the events that surround the death of Moses. One of the things that we always seem to think about as we enter a new year are resolutions. Things that we resolve to do or not do or keep doing or change. Resolutions can take various forms. There are some New Year's resolutions that all of us could make as we think about the death of Moses and the reason that he died. Turn back a page, if you will, in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We want to read verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now, I'm glad that we don't have to be scholars to understand this verse. What the Spirit of God is telling us is that there was nothing physically wrong with Moses that would have caused him to die. He's telling us that this man was in perfect health. His eye was not dim. Even in his old age, the ripe old age of 120, his eye was not dim. Unlike what we find concerning Isaac, in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1, we read that when Isaac was old, His eyes were dim so that he could not see. Wasn't like that with Moses. He didn't need glasses. He didn't need contacts. He wasn't in need of LASIK surgery. His eye was not dim. But notice what else we read in this verse. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The implication of those words is that Moses' mind, his intellect, his ability to reason and think and remember, his judgment, his ability to make judgments had not abated. None of these things had decreased or diminished or declined in any way. And what was true of Moses' mind was true of his body, his physical vigor and his physical vitality, his physical health and his physical strength had not subsided or lessened or weakened in any way. So why did Moses die? Well, look back at Numbers chapter 20. If you will, and we'll see why Moses died. But before we read here, there is a verse that provides a critical background, a very critical commentary on these verses in Numbers chapter 20. Psalms 105 and 106 are two psalms that go together. John Phillips, in his books on exploring the Psalms, summarizes these two Psalms this way. He says, Psalm 105 tells us how God treated Israel. Psalm 106 tells us how Israel treated God. One Psalm deals with the faithfulness of God, the other with the faithlessness of Israel. And in this Psalm that tells us how Israel treated God, in this psalm that tells us about the faithlessness of Israel, we read why Moses died. Psalm 106 and verse 32 and 33 say of the children of Israel, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Moses died because he sinned the sin unto death. And the sin that he sinned that was unto death was that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And here in Numbers chapter 20, we have the detail. We have the detail of what Moses said, and we have the detail of the events that led up to the moment when he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Look at Numbers chapter 20 and verse 3. And the people chode with Moses. Now the reason they did that is because there was no water there in Kadesh where they were. And so they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and they people chode with Moses. Notice that word chode. It's a very important word to understand the setting and the circumstances here. The word chode is a very strong word. It means to loudly or passionately express anger, dissatisfaction, disappointment, disagreement, or discouragement. But that's not all it means. It means to argue. It means to quarrel. It means to complain. When I read all of that, what comes to my mind is the word chew. And I guess it's because the word chode seems to have, or it doesn't have any linguistic, I guess is the word, relationship to the word chode, but it comes to mind because it sounds similar, the word chew. When these people chode with Moses, what they were doing was chewing on him and gnashing on him with their tongues and their words. And if we've ever been chode with and chewed on, then we can enter into Moses' emotions here. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought this congregation of the Lord unto this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, nor of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. As these people And these are not the heathen. These are the people of God. As these people loudly and passionately express their anger and their dissatisfaction and their disappointment and their disagreement and their discouragement, those same emotions were stirred up in Moses and Aaron. Folks, may I say that the first thing that we need to remember as we begin 2016 is that our words have power. Our words have the power to kindle incredible emotions in the people that we speak with. Our words have the power to kindle anger in them, to kindle dissatisfaction in them, to kindle disappointment and disagreement and discouragement in people. They have the power to begin arguments. Our words have the power to begin quarrels. Words are very powerful things. And they equally have the power to do the very opposite. Our words have the power to kindle calm and contentment and blessing and harmony and encouragement in the people around us. That's why Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why Paul wrote in Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. How are we going to answer every man this year? Every man. Not just some men. Not just the ones we love and the ones who love us. But how are we going to answer every man this year? Are we going to answer them with words that kindle the emotions of death? Or are we going to answer them with words that kindle the emotions of life? Are we going to answer them with grace or ugliness, with salt or with hatred? After the people gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron, and after they chode with Moses, notice what Moses and Aaron did in verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Moses and Aaron went to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they outwardly prostrate themselves before the Lord. And the Lord tells them what they're to do. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. It's very important that we see the Lord's instructions here. Moses was to take the rod, and he was to gather the people together, and he and Aaron were to speak to the rock before the eyes of the people. And there's a very important point here. Moses was to have the rod, but he was not to use the rod. And there's a reason for that. Keep your place here and turn back, if you will, to Exodus chapter 17 for just a minute. Exodus chapter 17. For the sake of time, we aren't going to read a great many verses here because the circumstances are exactly the same as they are in Numbers chapter 20. The people of Israel have pitched in a place, Rephidim, where there is no water. And we see in verse 2 that the people, again, what did they do? They did chide with Moses. In verse 3, they murmured against Moses. And in verse 3, the response of Moses is the same, basically, as it was, as we just read about in Numbers chapter 20. He goes and he cries out unto the Lord. Now look at verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God told Moses here in Rephidim to smite the rock, and water would come forth out of it that the people may drink. This event is a picture of the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus is the rock. Paul writes about this event in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And he tells us how the people of Israel drank not only of the physical rock and the physical water, but they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. He's the one who is in view here. And this rock was to be smitten with the rod of Moses. One of the things that a rod symbolizes in the Bible is chastisement and judgment. On the cross of Calvary, God took the rod of His judgment and He smote the rock, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us about it in Isaiah chapter 53, where he says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah goes on to say that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. And he goes on to tell us that God made the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ an offering for sin. All of these words there, smitten of God, afflicted, wounded, chastisement, laid on Him, bruise Him, put Him to grief, make His soul an offering for sin. All of these words describe the rod of God's judgment smiting the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He smote that rock on the cross of Calvary, John chapter 19 and verse 34 tells us that forthwith came there out blood and water. And the result of this smiting of the rock of ages is that God says now, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Have you drank the water of life from the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was smitten for you. The waters of this world will never satisfy. You can sample them all over the world. You can sample them in every culture. You can sample them in whatever circumstance you want to sample them in. They will never satisfy. Have you discovered that yet? The Lord Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Never thirst. "That water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Have you drank the water of life from the precious rock that was smitten for you? God will never force you to drink it. He'll never force you to drink it. Here in verse 6, God told Moses, "And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." I underline that word "may" in my Bible, because it's a reminder that God did not force the people here to drink this water from the rock that was smitten. It was there and it was available that the people may drink. And that little word "may" is just as applicable today as it was then. If you're lost in this meeting today, God will never force you to drink from the rock. He'll never force you to be saved. He has been smitten. He was smitten that you may drink. But He'll never force you to. That's why He says, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And the wonderful news of the gospel is this. Right now, right where you are, you may, by an act of your will, humble your heart and drink the water of life. You may, by an act of your will, humble your heart and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ from your sin and ask Him to be your Savior. The cross is what's in view here in Exodus chapter 17. Now let's go back to Numbers chapter 20, if you will. And here again, the circumstances are the same. The people are in a little different location. They're not in Rephidim. They're in Kadesh. But the circumstances are the same. There's no water. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and they chode with Moses just like they did back in Exodus chapter 17. And Moses and Aaron fall on their face before the Lord, and the glory of the Lord appears to them. And the Lord gives them these instructions that we read in verse 7 and 8. Moses is to take the rod, and he's to gather the assembly together. But this is where the similarity between Numbers chapter 20 and Exodus chapter 17 ends. He's to have the rod, but he is not to use the rod. He's only to speak to the rock before the eyes of the people. And the reason that Moses was to speak to the rock and not smite the rock is because the rock had already been smitten. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 says of the Lord Jesus Christ, "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Once. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And in verse 26 of that same chapter, Paul says, "There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." The rock only needed to be smitten once, and God smote his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross of Calvary. That's why God's instructions here are to speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And the picture and the message here are so beautifully presented. Moses was to have the rod before the eyes of the people. And I think he was to have it, at least one reason is, because the rod is what they deserved. But those who deserved the rod did not get the rod. The one who did not deserve it, got it. The rock is the one who got the rod. Folks, all through this book, the rod is visible. It's right before our eyes. But I'll tell you the wonderful message this morning. And you cannot enter 2016 with a more wonderful message. You and I, the ones who deserve the rod of God's judgment, we didn't get it. The one who did not deserve it is the one who got it. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I should have hung from the cross in disgrace, the hymn writer wrote. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But there's another contrast here that we want to notice. In Exodus chapter 17, God's instructions were to smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And I would suggest to you that Moses and Aaron, no doubt, drank of that water from the smitten rock. Because they were there in Rephidim with the people. They were there where there was no water. And I think it would be inconsistent to think that they did not thirst too, and that they did not drink of that water. But now we need to notice the change in instructions to Moses since he drank of the water from the smitten rock. Notice verse 8. Well, in the middle of the verse, God says, "Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." May I suggest this thought to you? In Exodus chapter 17, the cross is in view. In Exodus chapter 17, salvation is in view. But here in Numbers chapter 20, it's not salvation that is in view, but service that is in view. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses smote the rock and that the people may drink. Here Moses was to speak to the rock. The water was going to come forth from the rock. And then what was to happen? Moses was to bring forth the water to the people out of the rock. He was to give the water to the congregation, and not only to them, to their beasts. Folks, when we drink of the water of life, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are saved so that we can take upon ourselves the form of a servant. We're saved so that we can take upon ourselves the form of a servant and humble ourselves and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read about it in Philippians chapter 2. And we're told there that we are to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we want to be great in the Lord's work, if we want to be chief in the Lord's work, the Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." That's what the Lord is telling Moses here. And please notice who Moses was to give the water to. Notice who he was to minister to and be servant to. The people of God and their beasts. Moses was to minister to and serve the very people who chode with him constantly. He was to minister and serve these people who argued and quarreled and complained all the time. He was to minister to these people who were angry. These people who were dissatisfied and who were a disappointment and disagreeable and a source of discouragement. These are the people that he was to bring forth water to out of the rock. And again, we aren't reading about lost people. We're reading about the people of God. And you know something? The people of God haven't changed. Could I say it another way? We haven't changed. We haven't changed in the last 3,469 years. If we're looking for a New Year's resolution for 2016, I'd like to suggest one to us. Let's resolve by the grace of God not to be arguers. Let's resolve by the grace of God not to be quarrelers and complainers. Let's resolve not to be angry and dissatisfied and a disappointment. Let's resolve not to be disagreeable. Let's resolve not to be a discouragement to the people who we are supposed to minister to and serve. And the only way that will ever happen is if we are willing at the very start of this year and every day that follows this year to be crucified with Christ. The only way that will ever happen is if we're willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice. The only way it will happen is if we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. The only way that will happen, the only way is if we are willing to take on the form of a servant and humble ourselves and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, even death to self. Are we willing to do that in 2016? And the time setting of this chapter is so critical. And it's particularly, not only critical, but it's so interesting on this particular morning. Look back at the first verse Numbers chapter 20. There's a little detail here that we need to see. Notice, if you will, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. In the first month. These events are taking place in the first month of the year. The first month, the beginning of the year. And here in the first month, here in the very beginning of the year, God is telling Moses and Aaron how to have a year that will honor him to him and be a blessing to them and a blessing to his people. And here's the way you do it. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Can people tell that you and I have spoken to the rock? Can people tell on a daily basis that before we begin our day, we have gotten up and we have spoken and had communication with the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can they tell that? Speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. That's the only thing that we have to offer people, folks. It's not ourselves, Paul said. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. All we have to offer people is the water of life. Not ourselves, not any of our goodness, not anything that we've done. Not anything that we think about. What we have to offer people is the precious water of life. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts. Their beasts. But notice what Moses and Aaron did. Verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. A little earlier we said that our words have the power to kindle incredible emotions in the people that we speak to. Our words have the power to kindle anger, dissatisfaction, disappointment, disagreement, discouragement. They have the power to begin arguments and quarrels. The words of the people of God had provoked Moses and kindled anger in Moses. And Moses carried that anger to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Somebody says, I don't see that here. It's here. We just read about it. And you see, that's the thing about anger. You can carry it to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and nobody externally around you will see it. He carried it when he fell on his face there. He carried it when the glory of the Lord appeared to him. And instead of acknowledging it and confessing it and forsaking it, Moses held on to his anger. I wonder if we did that in 2015, a fellow believer chode on us. A fellow believer said something that kindled anger in us. A very vehement disagreement in us. Or maybe their words discouraged us. And from that point on, we carried that emotion with us. We've carried it to the door of this church. We've carried it when we have outwardly gone through the appearance of worship. We come and we sing. We stand up and we sing the songs and we hear the prayers. Maybe we even pray. And we give our money. And we smile and we shake hands with people and we go out. I wonder if we carried that emotion with us through all of that. Carried it to the door of this church. Carried it through the appearance of worship. Carried it even as the glory of the Lord met with us. Because He's here. He's here. He's here in every one of these services. He's here wherever His Word is preached. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. And instead of acknowledging our sin and confessing it, acknowledging our anger or our disagreement or our discouragement and confessing it and forsaking it, we've taken it with us and we've continued to chew on it and ruminate on it as we left this tabernacle of the congregation service after service in 2015. We think that we have it under control. And we're going to keep it in here. And we're going to control it. But we can't. It's going to come out. Vance Havner said, what's down in the well is going to come out in the bucket. It'll come out. It's going to come out in us just as it did in Moses. And in the same way, Moses spake unadvisedly with his lips. And notice his unadvised words in verse 10. Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? You know what the answer to Moses' question is? Yes. That's the answer to his question. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Yes. He was to fetch the people water out of this rock because that's what the Lord told him to do in verse 8. You see, Moses was just as much a rebel as the people of God were that he was ministering to. He was just as much in rebellion against the word of God in not bringing forth water to the people and to their beasts out of the rock as the people were for gathering themselves together against him and chiding with him. Moses was lifted up with pride. He saw himself somehow as above the people of God. They were the rebels. It's the people. It's not me. I'm not the rebel. It's the people around me, Lord. Those people are the rebels. He was lifted up with pride. He didn't see himself as a rebel. And I tell you, folks, the day you stop seeing yourself as a rebel, with a rebel nature that cannot be subject to the law of God, that does not fear God, you're in for serious trouble. You're in for disaster. Moses was lifted up with pride, and what follows pride is unbelief. And what follows unbelief is deception, and what follows deception is disobedience. Moses spake unadvisedly with his lips, and he lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. He smote the rock twice. Moses' actions here, Moses' testimony here, was to undermine and bring into question the efficacy of the cross of Calvary. The efficacy of the one sacrifice for sins forever. And God judged Moses, and he judged Aaron for it. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is why Moses died. This was the sin unto death in his life. Pride, unbelief, deception, disobedience that manifested itself in speaking unadvisedly with his lips and putting forth a testimony that brought into question the efficacy of the cross. And we think to ourselves that we would never do anything like that. But you know something? We do it every day. Because that's what a poor testimony is. Brother Dwight was speaking about testimony Wednesday night. A tremendously important message as we begin entering into a new year. But every day we have poor testimonies. And a poor testimony is a misrepresentation of the cross of Calvary. It's a misrepresentation of the one sacrifice for sins forever. It's a misrepresentation of the mind and heart of God toward His people and the people for whom He died. If we know the Lord today, as we begin 2016, how's this year going to be? How's this year going to be? Are we going to be among those who are weak and sickly? Are we perhaps going to be among those who sleep, who die because of our pride and unbelief and the deception of our hearts and the disobedience of our lives that manifests itself in speaking unadvisedly with our lips and misrepresenting the cross of Calvary? And if we don't lose our lives for our rebellion, our testimony will certainly die before the people around us. Is that how we're going to live this year? Or are we going to present our bodies a living sacrifice? Are we going to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, and take upon ourselves the form of a servant and humble ourselves and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, even the death of dying daily? How is it going to be with us in this new year? Our Father, we thank you for the great truth that you do not hide the faults of your people here in your word. You put these things out there for us to see very plainly. You've put them there, written them aforetime, that we might study them and read them, that we might understand our need and our condition before you. We pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Speak to any who are here that are lost. We pray that this might be the day when they humble their heart, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they drink of the water of life freely. And Father, if we know you today, we pray that we would examine ourselves before you as we enter this new year, that the desire of our heart would be to walk with you and serve you and be a blessing, not to misrepresent the cross, not to misrepresent your heart and your mind toward our fellow believers and to the people around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.